A report released today is questioning the Australian Parliament's ability to meet international human rights obligations. Australia doesn't currently have a document outlining the human rights which are protected by law, although states and territories have their own. The report by lecturer at the RMIT Graduate School of Business and Law, Dr. Adam Fletcher, outlines a number of flaws in the legal system which have raised concern over human rights issues. The Wire's Calvin Lee asked Dr. Fletcher what alterations have been made to our human rights over the years.
There are a number of laws discussed in the report which potentially affect Australians' human rights. So there, for example, there is a bill concerning the trial of something called the cashless debit card, which was a welfare measure, only allows recipients in certain areas to spend their welfare income on things that are predetermined, essentially, by the government. And there was a trial of this. The research showed that it wasn't, it was unnecessarily restricting people's rights. And there's been a number of other law changes over the last few years, including in response to the pandemic. So the report also covers, for example, what was commonly known as the India travel ban, where the government delegated legislation, which is sort of urgent executive-made legislation, to ban people entering Australia from India for a short time. And they're just a couple of examples of the laws, the new laws, posing human rights concerns, which the committee has flagged over the last few years. And, you know, for example, other like-minded nations, New Zealand, South Africa, India, Canada, they all have national charters of rights in one form or another. But Australia has considered adopting one on a number of occasions, most recently with a huge national consultation in 2008 and 9. And each time it has been decided that it's not appropriate for Australia, that essentially that Parliament should remain the supreme lawmaking authority and that the court under a Bill of Rights should not be empowered to, as opponents put it, override Parliament's lawmaking, even though it was never really in contemplation that we would have the sort of constitutional Bill of Rights that sees the US Supreme Court striking down laws of Congress. It was really just the proposal to have an act of Parliament like the Victorian Charter or the ACT Human Rights Act, which gives a limited role to the courts to have a dialogue really with Parliament on whether the laws it's passing are compatible with human rights.
And you threw out a couple of examples just now of other countries using charters. In your opinion, what kinds of rights should be included in our charter, or is there a country that we could look up to for an example of an effective charter?
Yeah, absolutely. So largely speaking, what these human rights acts do is they draw on the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which contains rights such as, quite relevantly in the last couple of years, the right to re-enter your own country, the right to a fair trial, the right to be free from cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment, rights to non-discrimination, those sorts of rights with which I think many of us are familiar and many Australians I think believe are already protected in our national laws, and sometimes that's erroneous. So that would be most of the provisions of a proposed Federal Human Rights Act, but there are a couple of rights protected in the ACT, Victoria and Queensland legislation, which come from another international instrument called the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, such as the right to education and sometimes limited rights to housing or social security, for example. And those sorts of rights could be contemplated for inclusion in the Federal Human Rights Act as well.
Are there any concerns that this might make our system less flexible to change?
It's been an ongoing theme, particularly an ongoing argument, if you like, from opponents of human rights charters. But as I said, a constitutional Bill of Rights, so you know, appended to the constitution. What is proposed is a more flexible arrangement akin to that in New Zealand and the UK and like-minded countries, where there would be a Human Rights Act, there would be a role for the courts in essentially adjudicating on cases where people believe their human rights have been infringed, but it wouldn't provide a mechanism for the courts to strike down laws. And importantly, it would be subject to change by future parliaments if society, you know, values evolve, if societal needs evolve.
So why don't we finish up with talking a little bit about some of the recommendations you've made in your report that we haven't quite touched on yet. Are there any that stand out particularly?
Well, yes. I mean, the recommendation for a Charter of Human Rights is the first one, which we've already talked about. And really that's to complement the role of this Joint Committee on Human Rights, which is what we do have, a committee of parliament, which is scrutinizing new laws to try to ensure that they're more compatible with Australia's international human rights obligations. However, that scrutiny committee really struggles to have an impact because there are not really any consequences for example, a minister who introduces a bill which has incompatibilities or potential incompatibilities with human rights. It's either politically or legally, because there's no complementary charter, no role for the courts. There aren't many consequences for ignoring human rights in the legal development process. So that's something that we believe needs reformed, and the complementary charter of human rights to complement this scrutiny system would really assist in this regard, make it a stronger human rights mechanism. I also suggested some improvements to the parliamentary processes, giving the committee more time. So the report mentions several pieces of legislation which were passed without giving the committee time to scrutinise, which obviously means that any concerns it flags are not going to be taken into account in the law. Also, the ability for the committee, like its UK counterpart, to inquire into national issues of human rights significance. So if there's some kind of national issue, like one that comes to mind, which has been in the news recently, is the age of criminal liability, which is very low in Australia at the age of 10. And this sort of thing could be inquired into by a joint committee in human rights in other jurisdictions. We think the Australian committee should have that power too. And there are also some issues with government-made legislation, which is not necessarily very prominent, not very well known, but this is legislation that's made by the executive on the basis of power delegated by parliament, often on an urgent basis. So, for example, that India travel ban I mentioned was drafted by the executive. It's registered, but parliament has a very limited role in legislation like that, even though it can have a large effect on people's lives and people's rights. So I think there needs to be a greater role for Parliament in overseeing that kind of lawmaking as well. So there are a number of developments both nationally and internationally concerning constitutional recognition of Indigenous connections to land, Indigenous sovereignty and related concepts, Indigenous rights more broadly. So, for example, in Canada and New Zealand, those sorts of developments, their constitutions have been amended to improve, for example, Indigenous rights to representation and self-determination. And there is a process underway for a treaty, and in fact, which would result in constitutional alteration, most likely, in Victoria at the moment as well. So it's far from unprecedented, but it is, I suppose, a parallel process. It's not exactly what we're focusing on in this report. human rights are important. I think some of us only realized that during the pandemic when rights restrictions were imposed that previously we hadn't been subject to. We saw people wondering about their right to protest, right to freedom of movement, freedom of association, all those sorts of things. And it's really important that these things be taken into account by our lawmakers. And to ensure that happens, we need to have a strong system of scrutiny. Ideally, that will be accompanied by a federal charter of rights so that there's a role for both parliament and the courts in ensuring that our new laws are at least contain safeguards which make them more compatible with human rights.
That was lecturer at the RMIT Graduate School of Business and Law, Dr. Adam Fletcher. Ending the story by the wires, Calvin Lee.